Well, this morning, we're talking about housing. At the end of last week, we got the long-awaited review of Guernsey's housing market. The authors, KPMG, said that an ongoing supply of mortgage credit is critical to ensuring that those who wish to acquire a home can obtain the financing required. Among its recommendations, a working party should be formed to regularly monitor the local mortgage market. A shortlist of potential new lenders should be approached to better understand the appetite and the barriers they face. It's quite jargony, isn't it? We'll talk about that in a bit more detail. And an ongoing dialogue with existing lenders to keep abreast of their appetite for lending and to understand the challenges they face. Let's get a bit more on the background to this with Oscar Pearson.
Along with secondary education and transport links, the other big election issue in Guernsey 18 months ago was construction and the local housing market. A long-awaited review of housing here is published. It's been put together by KPMG at a cost to taxpayers of almost £100,000. Here's our political reporter, Simon Fairclough.
It suggests Guernsey needs between 97 and 157 additional local market homes each year over the 5 years from 2017 to 2021.
Local developer Charles McHugh believes the targets identified within the report, which are lower than the state's goals of creating 300 homes per year, are now more realistic.
In the Island Development Plan in 2015, the whole plan was developed around the target of 300 houses. Now that we're only actually going to be building less than half of those, that's good news.
The report paints a picture of just who is able to purchase property here.
First-time home buyers in Guernsey are, on average, 28 years old, with 62% living with their parents at the time of purchase. The average deposit and transaction costs total a whopping £53,000.
And there's a political side. The president of Guernsey's Committee for Environment and Infrastructure says it contains thoughts and themes, albeit recurring ones, that will be useful for the states with regard to future policy.
What it does do, which is helpful, is break down the tenure of houses that we need to build. It guards against the states taking any measures that are inflationary.
Deputy Barry Breyer there. And Deputy Michelle Leclerc of Employment and Social Security says when it comes to implementing the report's suggestions, she shares a great deal of responsibility with her colleagues.
It will be working with environment, infrastructure, planning. P&R will have to make a contribution as well. Health and social care on the key worker accommodation.
And the BBC's Simon Fairclough says the questions within this report now present a real challenge, but an opportunity too for our elected representatives.
A summary of the mood, if you like, there within the local markets, and sobering thoughts for the politicians who will now have to act on the report and its findings and deliver solutions to some long-standing issues.
So that's a reminder of the background to this report. And this morning, we've heard from the developers, we've heard from the politicians. This morning, we're hearing from the lenders. In fact, in the last hour, we heard from a Guernsey mortgage broker giving his reaction. And he was really underlining what Simon was saying at the end there, is they've been waiting for this for a long time. Let's get on with it, let's get it debated, and let's get some action. Well, with me in the studio now is the CEO of largemortgageloans.com. It handles more than £3 billion worth of inquiries every year through staff in London, Singapore, Monaco, and Guernsey, and recently introduced three new lenders to the Guernsey market. And it offers specific options for first-time buyers, and interestingly, later life lending, which I think we'll talk a bit about this morning as well. Demographics, which were highlighted in the KPMG report as being a specific concern when it comes to housing and lending provision. Paul Welsh, good morning to you. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Good morning.
You recently returned to the island with your family, so this is home for you as well, although you do work around the world. And you were consulted, weren't you, for the review. What's your reaction now you've seen it's published? Is it what you expected?
No, I think it's a good piece of work. I think the key thing for me is that we need to act, and act quickly.
Exactly, as Pierre Bionpe was saying in the last hour. Now, the focus so far has been at the bottom end of the market, the first-time buyers. Let's deal with that first of all. What do you think needs to be done to improve things for first-time buyers?
I think the biggest barrier to entry is always people having to save deposits and find the money to get the deposit. One of the lenders that has recently come to the island is called the Family Building Society. They can lend up to 95% of a purchase price, but you do need additional security to get them onto the market.
Yeah, and it's having that deposit, which is the issue. Things like the other fees that go around this, the bonds and what have you, is that going to make any difference if they were to be reduced?
Too high. I mean, when the report covers the fact that, I think from memory, Jersey's costs are £7,000 less than Guernsey's, and I think for a first-time buyer, these people are the future of Guernsey. You know, the people that want to buy a property and live want to own their own home. And I think there are too many barriers, and the taxes and fees are circa 5% of a purchase price. So you've got to find the deposit, then the costs, and it's just simply too high.
Would the removal of document duty and bonds be the answer?
I think, in my opinion, that I think you need to do a number of things, and that would be a big help. Because at the end of the day, we want our children, the future of Guernsey, to remain in the island. We don't want people leaving because they can't own their own home. People need to have hope and aspirations to remain in Guernsey because it's such a beautiful island.
Yeah. What about the mortgage market? Because you point out that the reviewer highlighted the highly concentrated mortgage market, a key area of focus. I think it states here, if one of the existing main lenders exited, there would be significant pressure on the remaining lenders, which, if not resolved, might risk a decline in the credit availability and subsequent transaction volumes.
That would be the case, and it is a very big risk. Lenders, there are two lenders in Guernsey and similar in Jersey who are doing the volume of all lending in the island. Now, I understand that the UK market is different, and then the model and their business models run in a different way. Intermediaries account for circa 70% of all UK mortgages introduced in the UK. I'm not sure what the numbers are in Guernsey, but for example, Barclays are going to reintroduce an intermediary offering. I'm hoping that HSBC will follow. Lloyds are starting to do more business. There are other lenders here, but their business models don't allow working with professional intermediaries. And I think that's a big change. It's something that once Barclays get going, which I believe they're going to start in September with a pilot and going to go wider with that opportunity, if we can get Barclays doing similar numbers to the RBSI NatWest Group, that'd make a big difference to the consumer.
Is there enough demand for it in going to there to make it work for more lenders?
Yes, there is. I mean, with the Family Building Society, which I was instrumental in helping come back to Guernsey, from our research, you need to do about 25 million of lending per annum to make a business viable.
Can you do that in Guernsey?
Yeah, it's a challenge. I mean, it can be done if the pricing is attractive enough, but the challenge you have in some of the building societies is that the cost they have to pay their depositors and the money they lend out at, they can't compete with the high street.
So there's real structural issues here as well. Some of those are probably easier tackled than others. I want to talk, though, about the other end of the market, because the focus has been, probably quite rightly up until now, on the first-time buyers. But let's not forget what happens at the other end of the market and the people who are borrowing later on in life. What are the issues there at the moment?
I mean, at the moment, there is no traditional equity release products available. The bond structures don't allow for rolled-up interest. So I've seen so many people, and it's quite sad and upsetting. I mean, I met an 83-year-old gentleman recently. His wife's virtually blind. He's got a lovely house. No real savings left. Would like to downsize, would like to release money from the property and can't. The Family Building Society do a later life lending product where they can lend to people up to age 94, but interest has to be serviced. So the equity release products that you see in the UK simply don't exist here at the moment, and it leaves elderly people very vulnerable and stuck because they have no choice. They have nowhere to go.
Because there isn't that fluidity in the market.
The bond structures and the legal system doesn't allow for rolled up interest. That's a big challenge. The second is that the lenders here don't lend to those sort of individuals. There's only one lender at the moment that can lend, but interest has to be serviced.
And what impact is that having overall on the market then?
I think people in later life situations get very comfortable. They're in their own homes. Their health may not be what it used to be. They're comfortable. They know their surroundings. They simply don't want to move. If they do want to move, they need to downsize. Sometimes they need a little bit of help with costs. And I think both ends of the market need help. If you look after the first-time buyers and if you look after later-life lending-type individuals, the market should work a lot better than it currently does,
right,
in my opinion.
You say that the need to think differently is key here, don't you? What do you mean by that?
I mean, Guernsey has a lot of very wealthy individuals, and there's a lot of wealth creation since the war that's been created amongst the families of Guernsey. A lot of people that I've met so far, and I'm learning as I go, have rats. which is pension schemes and money. And I think families need to look at what assets do they have other than their home. If they have pension funds and things, some of these things in the UK, and it's just allowable here with some of the private banks, we would call it can be custodied on a bank's platform. And then that bank could say, okay, what children would you like to lend to? So the bank could say, okay, we'd like to manage some money, but at the same time, if we could help some of your children get onto the market, it's being creative with what we have. And I think there is a lot of wealth here that would make a big difference.
Now, you broadly welcome the report. How optimistic are you that the States for Guernsey will act quickly and make these ideas reality?
I think the thing for me in the UK, when we had the financial crisis, the UK government came out with schemes within 3 to 6 months. And I think for me, acting quickly is the biggest challenge. I mean, it's well and good to have a report. The time to take 2 years, in my opinion, isn't good enough. When I own my business, I run it, you need to move quickly. And I think for me, the message is move quicker.
Thank you for talking to us this morning. Really good to get your insight into things on the housing market, and also talking particularly about not just first-time buyers, but later-life borrowers as well. Paul Welsh is CEO of Guernsey's newest mortgage broker, largemortgageloans.com. Thank you. It's 19 minutes now past 8.